They keep coming by the thousands. One more missed paycheck. What are we going to do? We're in the heart of winter. What's it like where you live? Bible classes. Bible classes in the public school. Are things changing? Don't take that baby aspirin. And why don't you have a doctor? Hello, world. I'm Greg Patton. News, information, and comment. These and other stories. Oh, right after this. Don't go away. It really is a beautiful day in the neighborhood. So much of it is attitude. It really is. For as a man, a woman, a child thinks in his or her heart, that's exactly what's going on in your world. There's so many bad things that could be happening in our world today, but they're not right now. We need to rejoice in the... This is the day the Lord hath made. We're to rejoice and be glad. And are you doing that? Circumstances shouldn't dictate your joy in the Lord. No. A relationship with Him is so vitally important. Don't let the devil take you down today. Rejoice in Jesus. What to do? What to do? Maria Cortez says that she fled El Salvador for this country after her husband attacked her and knocked a pan of scalding oil onto her youngest son's head. After quietly planning for months, she took the 3-year-old boy and his 2 brothers and headed north without telling her husband. As she spoke in the yard of a Catholic charity shelter in South Texas, the boy played nearby. He had a hairless scar on top of his head in the shape of a jagged T. "I will always feel culpable," said the 30-year-old. President Donald Trump's push for a $5.7 billion wall, a demand that triggered the longest government shutdown in history, is unlikely on its own to stop families with stories like this woman who are crossing the U.S. border by the thousands every month. The Trump administration wants to use that money to construct more than 200 miles of border wall, and most of those miles would likely go in South Texas, where more people cross illegally than anywhere else. Congress has already funded 33 miles of new barrier, but much of that new barrier will be built north of the Rio Grande, which carves a natural boundary between the United States and Mexico. That means migrants will still be able to reach American soil in front of a newly constructed barrier, and they can request asylum. The latest proposal Trump and Senate Republicans made to fund the wall includes provisions that could possibly be far more consequential than the wall, by making the already difficult task of winning asylum even harder. Life is tough for something to pray about. Problems spotting up big time at the nation's airport as workers affected by the government shutdown are poised to miss another paycheck. Could you do that? Unless the government had reopened by midnight, which would have taken a miracle since the White House and Democrats don't appear to be speaking to one another at all, federal employees set to go another pay cycle without compensation, giving them 4 weeks now without pay. The fallout from the impasse over federal spending on border security was on display at airports across the country yesterday, where the Transportation Security Administration acknowledged that a large number of their agents failed to show up to work, I think something like 30% or so, causing longer waits at security lines. People cashing in everything just to survive. Isn't that something? Hundreds, count them, just hundreds of IRS employees have received permission to skip work now during the partial government shutdown due to financial hardship. And union leaders said Tuesday that they expected absences to surge as part of a coordinated protest that could hamper the government's ability to process taxpayer refunds on time. The Trump administration last week ordered at least 30,000 IRS workers back to their offices. Well, not now. Weather still a problem in much of America. Mid to late January is typically the heart of winter for so much of this nation. It's certainly no exception this year. Yet another winter storm began to batter the central U.S. on Tuesday, closing schools and wreaking travel havoc on the roads and at the airports. Here in the Summit City, school closed. A mixture of rain and ice and freezing on the streets. It's a no-go. They're saying stay in Fort Wayne, Indiana. What is it like in your neck of the woods. Well, this story makes a lot of people happy, and oh, a lot of people there over on the left very angry. A wave of Bible literacy bills emerging in state legislatures would allow more students in public schools to study the Old and the New Testaments in the public school. Proposals from lawmakers in at least six states would require or encourage public schools to offer elective classes on the Bible's literary and historical significance. That's a more narrow focus than what's typically covered in courses on world religions. And some of the lawmakers and leaders of Christian groups supporting the bill say they want to restore traditional values in America's schools and provide students with an opportunity to study the religious texts very deeply. The Bible is an integral part of our society and deserves a place in all the classrooms, said Republican State Representative Aaron McWilliams of North Carolina, co-sponsor of the bill that would require the state's public high schools to offer an elective on Bible studies. Oh, but critics say the measures come perilously close to violating the Constitution between church and state, and in practice is probably going to overstep it. They say the proposals are part of a coordinated effort by evangelical political groups pushing model legislation in several states. In God we trust. Amen. So if you work, do you have a long commute to work? I just hate that. I remember doing meetings at the Independent Baptist Church in Maryland, and we were going to go to a pastor's meeting. It was just a few miles away. We left 2 hours before the meeting. I thought the pastor had lost his mind. Man, once we started out, it was just creeping along. You know, long commutes to and from work on top of long hours, they're part of why so many Americans are dissatisfied with their employment situations. One found that just 20 minutes of your commute could make you as unhappy as a 19% pay cut. Another found that 23% of workers have quit a job because of that bad commute. And if you lived in Palmdale, California, the average round-trip commute, 85 minutes. New York, New York, average round trip, 82 minutes. Jersey City, 73 minutes, see what I mean? And some of us are spoiled. But if you're like me, where the studio is built into the home, it's a matter of a few steps from here to there. Oh, I love it. More news right after this. You know, the Bible contains many cautionary examples of men and women who had misplaced priorities in life. Often these are otherwise godly people who had a momentary lapse, I guess. This should give every believer pause to consider the importance of taking captive every thought, every desire. For good purposes or bad, we set priorities in one of three ways. Number one, by evaluating which things ought to carry the most importance. Two, by succumbing to pressure and letting people or circumstances dictate how we should prioritize our life. Or three, by drifting into habits and modes of thinking that become a way of life. Wise believers will certainly want to avoid the drifting option, as this approach accompanies a life that kind of feels meaningless. And priorities ought to take place before we face circumstances and people. In that way, we can be steadfast in our commitments. The only viable choice, then, is to prioritize deliberately. And we do so by setting a goal to live in accordance with God's purposes and plan. That Kentucky teenager smeared by the media over a videotaped encounter with a Native American protester in Washington last weekend, fighting back, and they reportedly are considering legal action. Nick Sandman, the Covington Catholic High School junior at the center of all of that, told NBC's Today Show that he did nothing to provoke anyone and sought to really calm the situation. As far as standing there, I had every right to do that. My position is I was not disrespectful to any Native American, Mr. Nathan Phillips in this regard. I respect him. I'd like to talk to him. I mean, in hindsight, I wish I could have walked away and avoided this whole mess. Meanwhile, some parental chaperones who witnessed the encounter say the Covington students were targeted because they were Catholics at a March for Life rally who were wearing Trump Make America Great Again hats. I think they were targeted for what they stood for, which is Christianity, the right to life. Parental chaperone Jill Hadman said, and they were singled out, and I believe partially because of the color of their skin, they were targeted. Whoa. Kentucky's Governor Matt Bevin said in an interview, he blasted the media for an incredible amount of bigotry against President Trump and his supporters. This fit the narrative of the stereotype of bigotry that they would be able to run with. Maybe make the type of bigotry clearer here, against Trump fans, against Kentuckians, etc. Covington Catholic High School was closed yesterday due to multiple threats. Robert Barnes and LA-based lawyers reached out to several families and offered to help them pursue a lawsuit against several media outlets. The state of the president's State of the Union address, scheduled for next Tuesday, appears to be uncertain because of the ongoing partial shutdown of the government. The White House still plans to proceed with the president's traditional report to Congress, but the details, maybe it'll be out in the field with a bunch of supporters. They're not sure what they're going to do. Knowing the president, he'll think of something. Tens of thousands of L.A. teachers plan to return to work today after voting to ratify a deal between their union and school officials ending a six-day strike. A crowd of teachers roared its approval after the tentative deal was announced at City Hall following a 21-hour bargaining session. While the votes hadn't been counted by Tuesday night, Union President Alex Palos said preliminary balloting showed educators overwhelmingly approved this proposal. An historic agreement that will usher in a new day for public education in L.A. The agreement came as teachers in Denver voted to go on strike as soon as this coming Monday. In health news, so as I get older, I say I gotta do some things that are recommended, like that baby aspirin every morning. What? Aspirin should not be taken? What? Should not be taken to prevent heart disease unless ordered by a doctor. Well, that's not what I saw on TV last night. That's what scientists say, of course. That's what they've warned after a major study found the drug substantially increases the risk of dangerous bleeding. A review of 165,000 people in their 50s, 60s, and 70s found that regularly taking the inexpensive drug boosts the chances of major bleeding by 40%. You know, here we go again. Who in the world can you believe? I'm going to pray about this thing. Gee, I was so faithful with that baby aspirin, too. This brings up another thing. Why do people do what they do? They're saying more and more millennials are ditching the doctor. Many don't even have a primary care physician, according to a new survey. Some doctors say this could lead to people overlooking, well, serious health issues. Many are asking, what's behind the trend? A doctor said, I think there's a few reasons. I think the primary one happens to be access to care. We found that millennials tend to want to have access to care right away, right now. They want it immediately, and they want to be able to see a doctor now. Well, that makes sense. When they feel well, they just don't want to go to the doctor, and they don't go. So then when they feel unwell, as he put it, they're like, I want to see the doctor right now. I'm going over to the doctor right now. I don't want to wait for weeks for an appointment. Now is the operative word. So what are the dangers of skipping a doctor's office and opting for some other care? The big one that the doctors are worried about now, and I think it's a big global health crisis, they say, is not getting your vaccinations on time. And many Christians are ready at the drop of a hat to argue that one. Many families do not get vaccinations. We haven't. They're also missing recommended health exams, blood pressure, eye, etc., etc. So what about you? Do you go see the doc regularly? When Hello World continues, we're going to talk about following Jesus fully and what it means to say, I'm a Christian. Right after this. For your information, Hello World comes to you through Greg Patton Ministries, which is an arm of the Cross Church in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Independent, fundamental, Bible-preaching church in the Summit City. Been here 31 years now. I wonder how long I'm going to hang on. Love to preach the Word of God in and out of the church. I mean, maybe in your area. Get in touch with us, gregpatton.com or helloworldradio@gmail.com. I'd love to speak to you and your congregation. We're coming to Tri-Cities, Tennessee, last few days of February and the first part of March. on the agenda, we would like to just fill up that schedule if at all possible. Hey, like us on Facebook too, Greg Patton, G-R-E-G Patton, P-A-T-T-E-N, and we'll thank you in advance. So when people say about their faith, I'm a Christian, should you say that? The word Christian means so many different things these days. Instead, maybe we should say, I am a follower of Jesus Christ, because that can mean only one thing, right? What does it mean to follow Jesus Christ? The 12 disciples who followed him during his ministry on earth left their homes, left their jobs, sold everything they had, and followed Jesus. Their love for Christ surpassed their attachment to things. To follow Jesus completely, we, like the disciples, must place him above every opportunity, everything. So many Christians are content today to settle for a minimal belief in Jesus. They've trusted him for salvation from their sins and know they're going to heaven. Many times these folks go no further, and as a result, they miss out on the amazing joy of being a disciple. The truth is, we all have specific calls upon our life. God's got a purpose for each one of us. He engineers a specific plan for me as a pastor and a unique path for you in, well, whatever you do, in your personal life, your vocation. We have a responsibility to answer that call by obediently following him, no matter the consequences. Now, he may not call you to the mission field or ask you to sell your possessions, sell your home, go. His plan for you, though, is unique. But I think I can assure you of one thing. He commands all of his followers to share the gospel message with others. The concept of sharing what we've learned about God dates back into the Old Testament history. We can see the practice of Job's conversation with his three friends. And certainly Moses explaining the law of the Lord to the Israelites was his way of discipling them. You know, Paul discipled Christians by traveling on foot from one synagogue to another. What do we do today? Television, computer, it has revolutionized the ministry, the pulpit. In this time frame of unprecedented technological advances, the church building and the classroom extend far beyond physical borders. This program via the internet is heard around the world, which just fascinates me. Our medium has changed dramatically, but our message remains the same, right? The Word of God never changes. Matthew 28:19, go, make disciples of all nations. It's relevant to us today as it was to those first disciples. That has not changed, would you agree? And all of the disciples of Jesus Christ are believers, but not all believers are disciples. Too often, churches are long on membership, short on discipleship. They stress numbers, but place nowhere near enough emphasis on growing spiritually. It's so important. And yet, if the church is trying to follow the New Testament model, it should be discipling God's people constantly. And when you hear that word, we usually think about the 12 apostles who were fortunate enough to know Jesus personally. However, the Lord intended for every believer to be in that category, a disciple. Before he died, Jesus commanded all of his disciples, saying, go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, Matthew 28:19. We should take that charge very seriously. Disciples are people who have received Jesus as Savior, yielded to him as Lord, and appropriated his word as a guide for their life. They're learners who are so hungry and thirsty after God that they apply whatever they hear and eagerly share that good news with others. In other words, it's not enough to simply believe in Jesus or even be content with learning about him. We are to tell others to be disciple makers. While discipleship ought to be the norm for every Bible-believing church out there, that too is rarely the case. The majority of Christians live their faith in isolation. They're secret agents of the Lord's army. They have little impact on others. They miss out on the important purpose that God has for their life. They prefer to sit there in the pew, enjoy the messages, go live their life, and return to church the next Sunday. They want just enough gospel to keep them out of trouble. Then if hard times hit, they run to the church and find some counselor is going to help them out of that trouble. That's not what the Christian life is about. It's a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ, which transforms us so much that the overflow of Christ's life within us makes a definite, eternal difference in the lives of others. I don't preach every Sunday merely to my flock's enjoyment. My intention is that at the end of each message, listeners will have something convicting. whether it concerns a particular sin or a commitment requiring attention, that you're going to do something different this week after you hear my message. My desire is that they apply spiritual principle to their own lives, and they will also share these truths so that others will grow stronger in their faith. For the Christian, success is not simply the avoidance of sin. That's good. It's a life so yielded to God that it makes an eternal difference to another person. You are indeed a walking Bible. Throughout history, Christians have taken seriously that charge to make disciples. In the first century, Paul discipled people by traveling from city to city. He preached the word. Scribes preserved the gospel text by executing a rigorous program of copying scripture from one manuscript to another. And as time passed after Jesus' death, the gospel spread in various forms. The Gutenberg Press put numerous copies of the Bible into circulation. Translators made scripture available in different languages, and radio technology allowed for the global broadcasting of the good news, something that we here at Hello World certainly enjoy daily. How great it is to send that message out there. We need to be committed to discipling believers all over the world. And there's so many countless ways for a Christian to do this. One-on-one Bible study, home groups, Bible college, seminaries have a long time provided opportunities for spiritual growth, but new, surprisingly effective methods of discipleship are being discovered every day. Are you using them, my friend? Answering the call of Almighty God, go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. Yep, we need to answer the call of the Great Commission. And I've shared with you, so many times, how a 16-year-old boy did just that down in Indianapolis, Indiana, to this former radio disc jockey. Yeah, he had a little independent church he attended in Acton, Indiana, population 50. Would you go to church with me? That's what he asked me, and I said I would, and it changed my life forever. Go, therefore. We need to do that today, my friend. I love Kevin Mitchell. Thank you for telling me the good news of Jesus Christ. And then there's this. Come on, how could this happen? It's not every day I go to work on a car, pull out a long-lost wedding ring. We're about in the car engine. Well, that's what happened with Will Fry in Dubuque, Iowa. He was working on a 72 old parts car when he pulled a wedding ring from the engine. He made a call to the previous owner, Ray Snucker, 93 years old, to see if maybe he had lost a ring somewhere along the line. Turns out he did indeed, back in 1973. Back then, Ray's wife was broken about the lost wedding ring, so she drove to town and came back with a duplicate for him to wear. The car has a lot of history with the family. When his wife, Virginia, was diagnosed with breast cancer, he wanted a nice car to take her back and forth to the appointments, and it was also used as a family vacation vehicle, and all three of their kids had learned to drive the same car. 20 years later, the Olds finally broke down, just sat there. They finally made a decision to put an ad in the paper and sell it, went to the scrapyard. That's when Fry contacted him and asked if he could buy it as a parts car to help his drag racing vehicle, a 68 Olds. When he was disassembling the engine, there it was. Beautiful diamond wedding ring. In the engine. 45 years. That is some kind of story. And finally, speaking of marriage, what's going on here? Now if the shoe fits, wear it. A police officer pulls a guy over. The driver says, "What's up, officer?" "You left your wife at the service station, sir, 3 miles back." "Oh, thank goodness," he said. "I thought I'd gone deaf." That's it. Oh, come on. That's it. Another edition of Hello World. I'm Greg Patton. Thanks so much for listening to the program, telling others about the broadcast. We are here every day, Monday through Friday at this time. Until tomorrow, same time, same place. God bless. Have yourself a great day.